Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Robin here. Just wanted to welcome everybody to the show this evening. We have a special show tonight in honor of Father's Day and the fact that it is solstice weekend, where we you know, it is a solar holiday, and we honor the God with the solstice. So I just thought it would be appropriate to talk about the men who raise us, fathers, stepfathers, dads, uncles who step up to, you know, help, grandparents who step in, grandfathers, and talk about experiences and correlations between the difference between how we view the men in our lives, like husbands and significant others, and how that relates to the fathers that we've had in our lives. So it's actually a special evening tonight because I have a lot of my good friends here. Nivasi is here in the house with us. Terry is here, and my friend Lee is here. Actually, physically, we're together, and my daughter is also going to join us on the air, who's 9. And Lee, are you there?
I'm here, sitting right next to your cute little daughter. Say hi.
Hi.
Niv, are you there? Okay. And Sammy, are you there?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. We'll give Sammy a few more minutes. I'm not sure she'll be able to connect. It's coming kind of hairy here with the Wi-Fi.
With 5 people and 5 cell phones and 5 electronic devices, connection would be
in
trouble.
Yeah.
You're in the mountains. What do you expect?
Exactly. Exactly. But I just want to say it's very nice to be here in the mountains of Pennsylvania. So different from our sweltering Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah. It's like going to be 55 degrees here tonight. It's beautiful sleeping weather with the windows open.
And it's just nice to hug all our friends.
Yeah.
In person, not just, you know, waving emoticons in the chat room.
This is true. This is very true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm always happy.
I'm waving at you, Lee. Can you see me?
Oh, yeah. Right through that wall.
I know we're bad.
It's going to be a party. Any old hoo-ha.
Okay.
So Sunday is Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even just between you and I, we have two very different father experiences.
Yes, we do.
Why don't you go with yours first?
Okay. When my mother, she fell in love very young and got married very quickly and very young, and she was thrilled to go home and tell my father that she was pregnant in the year 1962. And my father looked at her and said, well, when I was in the Army, they told me that I could not father children, so I couldn't possibly be the father of your children. So you've obviously cheated on me. I'm out of here. And he disappeared.
Aww.
So I never really knew my father. And then when I was about 10, my mother remarried my stepfather, who was just a nightmare. I believe he was undiagnosed bipolar, and he had had a very difficult upbringing, and pretty much verbal abuse, not the smartest guy ever, so he was really fighting a lot of issues, and I spent a lot of my teenage years really, really disliking him intensely. Got over it as an adult. Then I just wasn't going to let it bother me. But the first 10 years of my life, I was really, really fortunate that I had my Uncle Gus, my Uncle Dudley, and my Uncle Greg. We all lived in the same house. My grandmother had this huge Dutch colonial Victorian monstrosity in Queens that we lived in. And it was like 10 bedrooms. And so we all lived in the same house. So growing up, I lived in the house with my mom, my grandmother, my three uncles, and various and sundry college students and people who would rent rooms, bedrooms in the house. And it was an interesting upbringing, and I loved my uncles. And together, they made one heck of a dad. There was always somebody around. And I actually feel really fortunate that I had that. And it's funny, people often say to me, oh, didn't you miss having a father? No, I had three, in fact. So, the sad thing was that when I was around 10, they all seemed to meet people of their own and, you know, get married and move away. And so my mm-hmm. life kind of changed because of that. But the first 10 years, I had, oh boy, I was great. I was the only kid in the house, too. So Christmas was awesome.
A little tad.
But not so much with, not really so much with things. I was spoiled because I was really well loved as a child.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Talk about making a silver lining, right?
Mm-hmm.
My childhood was, I hate to even say, because it, I feel bad now, because I had a very attentive father. My dad was the band parent for my high school marching band, and he was the Pop Warner president for my son's Pop Warner organization, my brother's Pop Warner organization, and my sister's, because she was a cheerleader. And, he was, even though he was the proverbial, you know, he was like that show Mad Men, you know, he went off to work and mom was Donna Reed.
Mm-hmm.
He still managed on the weekends to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we worked on my car together when we got older, and I have pictures of him sitting in my playpen with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your classic fairy tale dad on the spot. I mean, don't get me wrong. The first time I came home with a hickey, I got hit with a newspaper in my head. So, you know, he was not a he got mad at me just as much as everybody else. But, you know, he used to take me to work, even before they had, you know, take your daughter to work day. He
mm-hmm.
would take me to work in the summers, and I learned how to run the old computer tape machines
mm-hmm.
for the old, like, computers that took up whole floors. And, you know, I would do the lunch orders, and we'd drive back and forth together. He drove me to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I had a very hands-on
she broke.
I think Lisa got dropped out of the thing here. We'll see if we can't get her back here momentarily. Niv, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Niv, why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience with your father and growing up, and we'll go back to Lisa when we pick her back up. Oh, terrific. Nivasi just got dropped now, too. Well, I'm here alone. It's a blog talk issue, apparently. Persephone? Ask her to come here, please. Here's my daughter. She's 9. And for those of you who aren't regular listeners to the show, Persephone's father was taken from us due to complications from Crohn's disease when she was 5. So she doesn't remember an awful lot about him. But I wanted her to maybe talk a little bit about what she does remember and about where she's at now with her whole concept of father and daddy. So I'm going to let Persephone talk. Persephone, why don't you tell people a little bit about how you feel about having lived through losing your dad at such a young age, your father at such a young age.
So what do you think, Perry? Do you think it was it hard to go to school and not have your dad?
Yeah,
because the other kids would have their friends come with their dads, and and you didn't get to have that. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. But you have memories, right? You were just telling me about a memory that you had with your dad when we were sitting outside.
Once we went strawberry picking, and that was really one of the things that I remember without having to watch a video or someone having to remind me about it. We've got some pictures here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We can't find them, but...
That's all right, but that's awesome. Yeah. That's a memory that you hold all by yourself.
Yeah.
Now, you do have home videos and stuff, so I knew your dad.
Yep.
My son actually got to work with your dad.
Cool.
And he was pretty great. I remember he made steak for me once. And it was the best steak I ever had. He was a really good cook. I'm sure your mom tells you that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you have a different situation going on now, huh?
Yep.
And what's going on now?
Well, Mommy and Terry are having their hand fasting tomorrow. And Nils and Aunt Marcy are going to be here.
Yep, and I think Matt and Jess are coming.
Yep.
And Grandma Owl, Danny's here. And so let me ask you a question, because I've known you for a long time. Came and stayed with me, and I know some of the secrets. So how do you feel about this?
I'm excited.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you excited?
Because Terry makes a pretty good daddy.
He does, doesn't he? And so now when you have to do daddy things, you know who to call, right? Yeah? Aw, are you getting emotional? A little bit, yeah. But it's been kind of fun, right?
Yep.
And what did you say to me when we were cooking dinner tonight? You said that Jimmy was your father, but what was Terry?
Daddy.
Your daddy, that's right. And that's pretty, pretty excellent. So big announcement to all our CERN followers. That is correct. You heard it right. My co-host and best BFF tomorrow will be wedding our boss. So maybe now we'll get even better time slots. Yeah.
Does that constitute nepotism? I don't know. Should that be in my contract?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we have
nepotism.
Don't worry about it. Sure.
Okay.
That's when your family gives you a job.
Okay.
But yeah, well, congratulations to my BFF and my boss, and to Perry, who now, by her own admission, has herself a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, are you online with us?
He's afraid to.
I am now.
Okay. So, what do you think? What do you think about that?
She's been my little girl for months.
I know, it's true. That's a big one, though. Now you're going to have to live up to being her kid. You know we're all going to be watching.
I think I'll do all right.
No,
and I think you're right.
You're a good daddy, Terry.
I do want to apologize for getting booted out there before. We may be electronically savvy, but unfortunately, it doesn't always cooperate.
Yeah, well, everybody's back in, so all the phones are connected again. I think BTR is having a small stroke or something.
Probably so. All right.
Well.
So I think Nerv was about to tell a story before she got booted. I'm going to slide back out of here.
Okay, Nerv. Why don't you continue and tell us a little bit about what you recall about your father?
Well, I'm having phone issues, but that's okay. Well, my mom fell in love with a married man, and I'm a product of that. By the time I was 4 or 5, I was told that he'd passed away.
Oh, boy, we lost.
Oh,
we lost,
no.
Yes.
CERN is just not cooperating.
BTR is really...
Well, you know what? There's also storms all over the place, so who knows? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, so it just seems that there's a lot of different kinds of daddies out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, my stepfather, you know, stepfathers run the gamut, and it was one of my big concerns when Persephone's father passed away when she was 5, that I was going to have to maybe one day inflict, and that was really the word in my mind, inflict a stepfather on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was afraid about doing that because of my stepfather experience not being at all good. And I have really lucked out. Terry has raised kids of his own, several, and he understands what it's about, and he talks to her. The poor kid, you know, she says something to me, and I give her an answer, and then she'll go talk to him about it, and she essentially gets the same answer, and she comes back to me, she says, he told me the same thing.
But you know what? That's awesome parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome parenting, because that's how my parents did it. You have to be a united front or they will walk all over you.
Yeah. And once this happened a couple of times. I asked Mommy and Terry a question, and they both said the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, which would be, you know, pretty cool if we had raised her together for, you know, 9 years. But the fact is, you know, we're coming together with different styles, and yet, poor child. I mean, we're so on par and on board with the same thing. Poor child didn't catch a break.
But that's good. Now she knows better.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's the way my husband and I do it. It's the same way. I mean, if he's not sure what my answer would be, he just says, go ask your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Which helps. But now with the technology the way it is, he'll text me and go, Austin wants to do this. What do I do? Or what should we do? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. But, you know, I know Sammy is having trouble getting on. And I just want to say that she has an awesome relationship with her dad. They are two of a kind. They give me a run for the money, and they are constantly going on adventures together.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because I know that when the time comes, she is going to have the most excellent memories.
Oh, yeah.
Of adventures with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's tremendously important, you know, that she has memories. Like Perry said, you know, she remembers that strawberry picking all
mm-hmm.
of her own. And that's an incredibly important thing, that she has memories that belong to her alone. And I know Sammy has them. And I think it's really great. Well, all the kids do. I mean, it's funny. My husband always says to me, you know, making memories. That's his thing. I want to make memories. And one time he actually said to me, they don't have any memories of me. And so I made the kids all go up to him. And they all came up with different things that he never would have assumed they would ever remember. But they do. And I think that's wonderful. And I know Perry already has memories. She was talking to me before about when she gave Terry his mug from Dubai, when you
mm-hmm.
guys went to Dubai, and
mm-hmm.
and she painted a mug, and she was telling me the story about how he reacted to it when she gave it
mm-hmm.
to him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she tells me stories about when he's here for the weekend and what you guys do and how much fun she's having. And I mean, when I stood by the sink today and I was cleaning the clams and she said to me, I know Jimmy's my father, but now I can have daddy. I
mm-hmm.
almost lost it.
Mm-hmm. She told me a couple of weeks ago that she couldn't buy him a gift for us getting married, but that she was going to start calling him daddy after we got married.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, will you make sure you say that on the radio? Because then we can all look at him in the corner and point and laugh. I was bad. I was trying not to cry, so I was making light of it. But I remember, you know.
Yeah, we just lost Lee again. It seems like we can only have Lee or Niv at the same time. We can't get them both in here at the same time. And I don't know why. Well, what I can do is maybe have Niv come and share my phone, because I was sharing my phone with Persephone. So, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'll come back on live.
Hi. What I may have to do is have Niv or someone share with you, and then somebody share.
I don't know. We got both of them back in now, so let's bring Lisa back in.
Okay. You guys there?
Yep, we're here.
Okay. Lisa, I'm sorry. Finish what you were saying.
And Niv is on from outside.
Okay, what I was going to say is I knew that Terry was the guy for even when and she came to me and she said, I want to get this on the daddy mug.
Mm-hmm.
I knew. And, you know, kids know.
Mm-hmm.
Kids know. And the fact that she had not a single bad thing to say. And, you know, you and I have been friends long enough that we've both known, you know, people that the other has been romantically
oh, yeah.
involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And she had not one bad thing to say.
And
that's it is.
That's heartwarming
and,
because, you know, you always worry that your kid's not telling you the truth, you know.
Right, because they want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
No, because she had no problem telling me about the things she didn't like about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't say it in a mean way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's never mean, ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she'll tell me a story about how she got yelled at or how she got in trouble for this or how she got in
mm-hmm.
trouble for that. She doesn't have any stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's going to be the dad she needs, and that's important. And, you know, lucky enough that my kids have dads, and, you know, hopefully everybody out there has someone they can call dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, whether it's an uncle or my daughter's best friend changed her name to her stepfather's name because he has been there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been there for her all through her schooling, all through her high school, and she just decided that that's the one way that she could honor him. And I think
yeah,
it's wonderful.
Nice.
So, you know, dad doesn't always have to be the person who created you.
That's true.
Sometimes it's better if it isn't for some people.
True. Father is somebody who, father is somebody who is there at the moment of conception, if you will, but a daddy is somebody who raises you and who's there for you. And, you know, there's a difference, in my opinion, between somebody who can be a father and somebody who is the dad.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that one.
Absolutely.
So we got Niv back. Niv, let's hear about
it. We got Niv back.
You know what? Niv is driving down the road. Marcy's here, though.
you were a love child.
Well, I had to go away because of a lot of feedback. But anyway, I was raised by a stepfather, but after he passed away, and he was like everything for me. He was the rah-rah dad, the stepdad was. Everything. I mean, sports that I was involved in, all the baseball stuff that I was involved in, all the Girl Scouts, all the time. He's the one that got me involved with the VA, and I volunteered with for close to 20 years. If had it not been for him, I wouldn't have had that experience. He passed away in November of 2000. And just this past year, my father has come into my life, which is a little strange. You know, I'm crowding 60 here. He says, don't call me by my name, call me Dad. Well, you're not my dad. Dad is past. You're stuck with me calling you by your name. I mean, because that's who he is.
Right.
He raised, you know, his 10 children plus his second wife's 5 children. So there was 15 kids in that house. I can understand why they did not need one more, you know. But over the years, we've got a really good relationship. And it's an adult relationship now. It's a lot different than what, say, my brother that grew up with him had. At any given time, he could call me, and myself call him. I go to the I go visit and stay with him. I mean, it's a different kind of relationship, but it's also, I'm not an orphan, so to speak. That sounds weird, but both of my stepdad and my mother have passed, and my father, who is crowd 90, wants to be a dad. It's odd, but okay, you know, he misses his children. Mm-hmm. A lot of his other children have passed away from different illnesses. Mm-hmm. So I'm stepping in and filling a hole for him, and I think he's probably filling a hole for me that I need that male in my life.
Right.
You know. But I think it's an odd feeling, but it's a good feeling. You know, it's good to know that your father is out there somewhere that wants to reconnect because he raised 15 other kids. Tag, you're it. You know? So it is an interesting relationship. I'm not going to say it's peachy, creamy, all gooey and mushy. It's nothing like that. It's completely different. But it's a good thing, you know. Quote, unquote, I am no longer an orphan. I have a 90-year-old father. You know? So I'm not really sure how to take that. It feels weird on my side, too. You know, and I'm sure it feels odd on him. He only had one daughter.
Right.
You know, so now he's got two. And I'm sure it is difficult for him.
Yeah.
But he's making an effort.
Yep.
He is making the effort, which is, you don't hear that anymore. You know, a strange father, you know. Yeah, a strange father of 50 years shows up in your life. Whoa. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that. You know, you just don't. So, yeah, he's making a valiant effort. I will give you that.
And that's good. It's hard for people of a certain age. You know, they don't like change. For them to actually change and turn around and reach out. I think that's
yeah, it was. You could have knocked me over with a feather when I got that phone call.
Sure.
You know. But we've reconnected in a different, unique way. It's not like, it's almost like reconnecting with an uncle. Or you know, it's just a little different. It is different. But it's also good for both of us because he knows he can call me and I can call him at any given time.
Yeah.
And there is a trust there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is different. I will say that. It is different.
but
it's there.
We're just at about 10:31. So I think we need to do the break thing. And we'll see
okay, I'll do the break
thing.
DTR
issues resolved for the second half of the show. And during the second half, I think we'll touch a little bit about how the father, the archetype, the father archetype also comes into our life as far as our God and what you get from that versus the physical manifestation of our father here in this plane. The song we're about to play this evening is Pipes of Pan by Darv the Bard, and we'll see you in a few minutes. Everybody who's listening, please keep your fingers crossed that we can fix the BTR issue. Thanks.
Hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old. Can you hear the pipes of Pan on the warm summer breeze? If you can you feel him deep within you as he penetrates the land? May he blossom to the bee, the nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello, we're back. This evening we're here talking with Lisa Lee, my co-host, and Niv Nivasi. And my daughter Persephone, in reference to fathers and the men who raise us, as well as the archetype of the father, the God archetype, and how that colors our perception of fathers and how we see, do we see deity in that father role at all in our lives? So, Lee, we've all sort of told a little bit about our background. We've all told a little bit about our background in reference to our own fathers. How do you connect with the father archetype, and how does that manifest in your life through the men in your life?
Well, I have to say I married a man exactly like my father. I mean, right down to the job he had when I met him. He is exactly like my father. He doesn't overtly share. He's somewhat quiet until he gets to know you. And then he's, you know, his regular social self. He doesn't like to talk about his feelings. Not, you know, if he's upset about something, of course, we'll discuss it. But he's not like you or I, where we will just discuss our feelings. So I've married Dear Old Dad. As far as in my past, I have to be honest with you, I don't have a quote-unquote patron god, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I am way more goddess-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't think, you know, I'm not one of matriarchs. You know, we don't need the men except to pollinate. You know, I'm not like that. I just have
pollinate?
Yet to find... Well, I was trying to be nice. Your daughter's on the phone. I haven't found my God yet.
Mm.
To me, the God is still a broad spectrum thing.
Mm.
And if I think about the God, I think of sort of the Zeus type, you know, and this is really weird because my father was not controlling to me, but yet I think of the God as being that, you know, firebolt, authoritative, extremely, you'll do, it's my way or the highway, you know what I mean? That
mm-hmm.
kind of severe type father figure when I think of the God. Now, this could very much be a holdover from my Catholic upbringing,
mm-hmm.
Which may very well, because I was Catholic school, you know, so it may very well be why I seem to put a
Did
finger on
Did you go to St. Mel's?
No, I went to St. Fidelis. We lived in College Point then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. No.
And anybody who can tell me who St. Mel was, right to the station.
Yeah. You'll win the prize. And what do they win? Thank you from us. To you. Yeah, no. So I have a feeling that that's part of why, for me, the God is still an intangible
mm-hmm.
thing, because I am so anti that, you know, fire and brimstone God, Catholic, you know, that that I'm just a Bridget girl all the way.
Hmm. Well, I've always looked for balance in my path, so I've always maintained a strong male presence on my path, you know, both the God and the Goddess, and the father archetype has always been present for me, and you know, protector, giver of knowledge and guidance, and that's sort of how I see it. The father always being there and always being the one who you know will make it better. You know, the protector, the don't you hurt my little girl syndrome. I guess maybe because I did not have that so much in my life as a child that it was important to me to have that in my deity.
I could see that. I could definitely see that as much as my upbringing pushed me away, your
mm-hmm.
upbringing pushed you to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just want to caveat real quick by saying I don't not incorporate, but when I think of calling the lady, I think of Bridget. But when I think
mm-hmm.
of calling the Lord, I don't think of a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still believe in the polarity. I still believe that you must have the equal presence of one and the other.
Male, female, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think that is, I just think if there was more equality like that, and I don't mean politically, I just mean, you know, if there was more of an even balance of both of those things, I think a lot of things would be better in the world today.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look around at the world and how things grow and reproduce, you always need two parts, unless you're an amoeba. You need two parts, male and female, in equal but very different parts to make life happen. And so, you know, to me, it has just always made sense that why, you know, as above, so below. If here we need it in this physical realm, then they must also have some representation of it in the spiritual realm. And
absolutely.
So,
I have Nib sitting with me. Why don't we ask her that question?
Okay. And Niv, how has the archetype of the father manifested itself to you in spirit and but also in the men in your lives?
Good question. Well, my male deity ran me out of the shower in Scranton to that
mm-hmm.
sense from that guy. Very male. And that's the only way I could, very bravo and in your face kind of guy. But the men in my life are complete opposites. They are quiet, most of them. And, you know, past, present, we're talking. I'm not looking for a new one. well, laugh. Go ahead.
Good to know. Good to know. It's not trolling.
That's right.
Good to know.
But I do, it seems that maybe it's my quote-unquote own personality that is so in your face as well, that the male opposite of me or the polarity side of me, balance or whatever, doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm truly don't need it. You know, I have enough of a God that guides me enough in my own life that I don't need that in my earth life.
With your man.
Yep. Yeah. Well. So no, I don't need a domination type male figure in my physical life, but in my spiritual life, I definitely do.
Do you have a patron god that you, your go-to god, so to speak?
Mount Karch. He was a seer for an army on in Greece.
Oh, okay.
So he's definitely in your age. He's a big guy.
Okay.
And he's still, and in life, there are coins with his face on it.
Oh, nice. Now, Robin, what about you? Do you have a go-to god?
Yeah, it's funny. I've always had an affinity for Poseidon, and I do talk to him an awful lot. I love water, and although I live in the mountains, I do miss the ocean. And if anybody's ever been in my house and they go into the main bathroom in my house, it's pretty much a shrine to the ocean. I've got seashells and driftwood and, you know, everywhere in that. In
rolling waves.
Yeah, rolling waves. And I've got the painting Poseidon's horses on the wall in the bathroom. And it's just always appealed to me, I guess. So for me, yeah, it would probably be, you know, Poseidon.
That's funny, Robin, because you know how you were talking about your past life having led you to a strong God power in your future, in your religion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the fact that you are so far away from the ocean,
mm-hmm.
leading you to work with Poseidon. I think that says something that, you know, we look for in our deity. Maybe we look for things that we are lacking. I remember when I went to say to you, well, how do you go about deciding who to work with? And you said, because what's lacking in your life will find you.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that help getting my head wrapped around my hearth and home, as well as me being me and having our group at the time and having my theater
mm-hmm.
group at the time. And where did I need the work? I needed it at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bridget found me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's my next little journey here, is that I have to go and figure out where my God is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe then I'll finally be balanced. Or I'll just continue to be off balance, but I'll have a God. Maybe it's Pan.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Oh, that'd be terrible. Pan or Loki would probably just put me right over the edge.
Hmm.
Wow.
Let's ponder that for the weekend.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry. Again, I bowed a jocularity.
That's all right. That's why you're here.
I'm the comic relief.
You always make me laugh. It's good. Because if nothing else, when people tune in, they know Lee's going to make them laugh.
probably true. Probably. I will say, either I will do it on purpose or I will say something really ridiculous.
Oh, no.
Like when I called poor Lacey's a girl. I still feel terrible about that. He has said it was fine. He has been like, it happens all the time. But I still feel like, foot in mouth for me.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. I don't think it bothers
him. Well, he knows, if he's listening tonight, at least he knows that I did feel bad for that.
Oh, my
Any
goodness.
Old hoo-ha.
Well, how do we think that how the fathers and how they deal with their children, and they differ. You know, every father is different, just like every mother raises her children different. But every father is different. I mean, how do we feel like that manifests in the men in our lives? How do they connect with their male spirit and their male deity? How does that ooze out of them? And do we recognize it? And what do we think?
Well, it's kind of hard because Ron's Catholic. And I don't know if I see, you know, the Catholic personification oozing out of Ron, except for the fact that, of course, he's getting very gray, as you well know. but as far as Ron as a father, I think he's a lot like his own dad. From what I've been told by his brothers, because Ron lost his father when he was 14.
Mm.
And that was a horrible thing for him because, A, it was back in the day when you weren't allowed up into the emergency rooms or into the ICUs unless you were 16.
Mm-hmm.
So to the best of my knowledge, the last memory he has of his dad was his father waving to him from a hospital room three floors up in New Brunswick.
Oh, boy.
And he remembers telling his dad, you know, saying, like, see you later and going out to play and coming back to ambulances in the driveway. And he, you know, my husband was in the Army. My husband did well in the Army. He graduated with an associate's degree. He got a good job. He was part of that electronic age where, you know, we all made way too much money and then the bottom fell out of the COBOL programming. You know, he got married. He had three wonderful kids. And I hope he's not listening because he's probably going to get upset. But he said to me one Christmas that his father missed all the good stuff. And I remember saying to him that, no, your dad had a front row seat for all the good stuff. Because he got to whisper in all our kids' ears before they even got here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's been, up until just very recently, it's been tremendously hard for him. So he tries really hard to make sure that our kids have those memories so that if anything ever happened to him, they have that stuff. So I see that more so than a God thing, being that, you know, I don't know how to relate that. It's not my past. But I see him as wanting to make up for the things and give him all the things that he got and all the things that he thought he missed.
Mm.
And my husband was the kind of guy who always said, not my baby, I don't have to hold it. Okay, he held his own kids. He changed his own kids. He took care of his kids and let me go off to work.
Mm-hmm.
He will do anything. He will work 8 days a week so that he has money to give his kids just because he wants to give it to them.
Right.
Okay, so he's an amazingly giving person. You know he will give to his friends. He will let me do anything I need to do to help my friends.
Absolutely.
And that's
I've been the beneficiary of that on more than one occasion.
Well, you know, Ron worked extra. We've got some more, so I'm spreading the wealth.
But a couple of weeks ago, the baby was over, my grandbaby, who turned one last weekend or 2 weekends ago and is walking. My poor son has had it now. He picked her up and he just squeezed her and kissed her and loved her and changed her diaper.
Mm.
And I was so excited just because, you know, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He's going to be the greatest grandpa. Well, he's grandfather, and he calls her granddaughter. I was like, it's better than sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
I don't know if that's his God showing through. I don't know what it is, but I know I love it to death.
Yeah.
And I'm a lucky girl. And I can't see that your future self is going to be any different.
Probably true.
So it's nice. It's nice. We don't have to. We finally found that other one of Ron. We don't have to clone him.
That's true. Yeah.
We found the other one. It's out there.
Mm-hmm. He is. And they are.
Which is good. And we're lucky. You know, mm-hmm. We're two very lucky ladies from Queens.
That's right. The New York girls from Queens. Hey.
That's right.
We're from New York.
Yeah, whatever. So good. Oh yes, we did.
You know, one of these weeks, we should do a show in our New York accents and freak everybody out.
Well, you gotta chew a lot of gum. You gotta be like, yeah, no big deal.
I'll tell you.
Hey, Vinny, order me a pizza.
Hey, I'll tell you about the father.
On 33rd and 3rd on the facade of the building. I'm telling you.
Oh, it's
so nice, though, that we have lost that.
Oh.
We can say we're from Manhattan.
Yeah, I never had a New York accent. I remember growing up and all my friends talked like that. And
yeah.
My grandmother, God bless her, she was raised in a convent. And anytime I would slip into something like, you know, Long Island, that's not the way you say it. It's Long Island. Or idea. There's no R on the end of that word. It's idea.
Yeah.
And so...
My father used to call my sister Regina. So she changed her name to Max. Because he couldn't put an R at the end of Max. It wouldn't happen. Well, wait a minute. I gotta backtrack a minute. Your grandmother was raised in a convent.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandmother, Mama too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Convent.
Yes.
What happened?
She got over it. You know, yeah, she got over it. But I honestly think that it was that repression that set her, as soon as she was free of that and she was an adult, that set her down the path. Because, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm very much like my grandmother. I'm a rebel, and I don't like it when people try to put me in a box. Put me in a box, and I'm going to find an escape hatch. I don't like when people put up walls in my life, you know, just to try to control me or whatever. And I will admit, one of my personality flaws is the harder you try to rein me in, the more I'm going to try a way to squeeze out. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and part of the beauty of my relationship now is that Terry's not like that. He doesn't try to control me. Not in the way.
Well, they all try.
Well, yeah, I guess there's a certain amount of that in every relationship, but he's very open and not, you know.
We do too. It's mm-hmm. not, everybody tries a little bit to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, you know, we all know how much have I gotten out of my husband for the both of us just mm-hmm. by being me? You know what I'm saying. So, I mean, we know how to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but you're right. You're absolutely right. He's,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Like I said, we're both extremely lucky. We're both
yeah.
extremely lucky. Are we in trouble yet?
Almost. I'm getting notes from the beloved engineer telling me it's time to talk about how people can contact the show.
They can reach us at Spiritual Wellness Physical Health on Facebook.
There you go. Terry and I can also be reached at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And if you really think that you've got something you'd like to say about the radio show, good, bad, or indifferent, or any of the hosts that, that you particularly want to get a message to, or you want to comment about a guest we had, pretty much anything you want to say about that pertains to the radio station, you can email the radio station at cern.org@gmail.com. And then there's also the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook, which is spiritualunityradionetwork.org. And see, Terry, I'm getting better at this. And it helps when you write it in the little chat box. And if you really can't figure that out, you can always get in touch with me on my Facebook page, which is Robin A. McKean, or you can get in touch with Lisa. You can get in touch with Terry at Reverend Terry Power HP, and you can get in touch with Lisa at the aforementioned Spiritual Wellness
Spiritual
Physical Health Facebook page. So we're really easy to get a hold of. This coming Tuesday evening, we will be doing a live Midsummer Ritual Tuesday night. Thursday nights, Terry and I do a show Under the Shady Tree, where we basically answer people's questions and have a theme and try to put some questions together that are linked together. It's just easier to talk about a topic that way. And then not this weekend, obviously, because we're here having our hand fasting, but next weekend we will be in Indiana at the Horn and Honey Festival teaching. We have three workshops we'll be teaching together. And I'm really looking forward to that. I have not been to that facility before, but I understand that it's really beautiful, and beautiful country, great people, and I'm really looking forward to having a good time at that. I really wish I could take both you and Lee and Niv and Marcy, all of us go there together and just have a blast. But maybe next year, this time we'll be the point guards. We'll go out and see the lay of the land and let you guys know. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Lisa or Niv, do you have anything you'd want to add before we get the heck out of here?
Just one thing. Congratulations on your hand fasting tomorrow. We love you. Woo!
Well, thank you very much. I sent Persephone off to bed because it's past her bedtime. She is 9 after all. But
she's
wanted
born right over here.
Mm-hmm. But she wanted me to tell everybody thank you for listening to her mommy on the radio. And to let you all know that she is very happy. Although she misses her father, she is very happy to have her new daddy. And so am I. And I guess we will all talk next week from Horn and Honey. We're going to be doing a live remote from there, I believe, Saturday night, if we can work the technology out. We hope. And so hopefully we'll be able to be heard from there. I do believe next Friday, this show will probably be a best of show because we will be traveling. And it will be kind of difficult to do the show from the car. We will be live with a new show in 2 weeks, just to let you guys know.
I'm off on Friday?
You are off on Friday.
Woo! Niv and I are going to party! Yeah.
All righty.
No. I'm sorry. I will miss you all so terribly being off.
Well, you know what? You two could do a show next Friday.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, run the board.
Oh, you can do it, Lee. You're smart enough. It's not hard.
Yeah, have a pleasant tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Well, Yeah, be careful what you wish for is exactly right. Okay, I'd like to say goodnight to everybody, and as always, spread the love. Go forward and be
Woo-hoo!
Kind. Have
Woo-hoo!
A great
Let the party command.
Yep. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. Good night, all.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.